You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Dear young married couple, do you ever get into those situations where you and your spouse are just escalated, or one of you is shutting down and the other one wants to solve it right now? What do you do? How do you actually responsibly handle the situation?
Well, I'll tell you how a lot of people irresponsibly handle the situation.
Let's talk about that.
So either they get loud enough, right? They And why do we get loud? We get loud so that the other person hears us.
So that if I could just get through to them.
Right.
Right.
So I get louder because obviously if you heard my point of view, you would agree with me and know that I'm right. Like that's people do this.
Yes. Another irresponsible way is they will just completely shut down. Generally one person, not both. Sometimes both. But generally there's one person who will just completely shut down and they might still be there physically, but they're not responding or giving very minimal responses. And then sometimes they'll physically leave. I'm done. I'm done with the conversation.
So like glazed over eyes, or they're like, I'm done. And they walk out the door, or they walk, you know, into a different room. And all of these are tactics really to either self-soothe, like not blow up, not act like their dad, or, you know, people they've seen in their life. Or what they're doing is they're controlling the situation. Like, I'm finished with this conversation and I'm angry and we're just going to finish it. You know, we're going to leave that there.
It's an effort to feel safe. Yeah. So, you know, when you are escalated or you're shutting down, you're in fight or flight and you are able to bring some sort of safety to yourself by shutting down the conversation or getting bigger and louder. That's the fighting piece. The shutting down is the fleeing piece. Yeah.
So what if we could give you a tool that has a few simple steps that if you guys both agree on it, you can have a break, but also have actually productivity in that break where both of you are thinking about the other person and then come back and have actually a productive conversation. Would that be great?
So Adam mentioned a really important piece. He said, and come back and have a really important productive conversation. That's another irresponsible way that people handle it sometimes. They're well-meaning, and so they'll take the break, like, I need some space. I need a breather. Mm-hmm. And they'll go for a five-minute walk. Either they'll come back in 5 minutes and it's still just as escalated as before, or they'll just never come back.
Yeah. So we're going to teach you this tool. It has 5 steps. And actually, we've been using this for about a decade, actually.
Yeah. I wish we had it all 16 years of our marriage.
That would have been beautiful. unfortunately not. But we have used this dozens and dozens of times in our own marriage, and it's helped us a lot. And of course, because we're counselors who see thousands of clients, we've taught this to them and watched their marriages turn around too. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching this or listening and you're like, I see this happening, what you're describing in our marriage, apply this, talk to your spouse, because you guys both have to be on the same page with this. Mm-hmm. But if you guys decide to use it, it really can turn your marriage around.
So before we get into the 5 steps, if you are watching this on YouTube, we ask you guys to like and subscribe. It really helps this reach many more people around the world that need to hear this and want their marriage to be improved as well. So if you could be on our team and help us out, that would be great.
Yes. So here we go. Get a piece of paper, pen.
A digital notepad.
Oh yeah. So the first step is to recognize your need for a timeout. Now, this is actually, we like to have people introspect on their body. So if I was working with you and you're my client, we're seeing each other over Zoom, I'd say, go back to the last time you guys argued and kind of look inward. Mm-hmm. What is happening in your body when you feel frustrated or we feel you're not getting through or you feel like this is going nowhere? Like, what is your body doing? How is it reacting to this escalated situation.
So some examples might be you feel yourself getting kind of hot and red, like in your neck or in your face. You might feel your heart rate go up. You might feel sweaty palms or even fists. You might get clenched fists. Not that you're going to punch your spouse, mm-hmm. but your fists might clench up in that fight or flight response.
Yes. So for me personally, so I am actually the withdrawer in the relationship. Carissa, my beautiful wife here.
I'm the pursuer.
Is the pursuer, which means that when she has an issue, she'll come to me to help me fix it. Sometimes.
To help you fix it.
Sometimes it doesn't go well and I don't feel like interacting in that way. And so I'll withdraw from the conversation, which she sees as a threat. So, mm-hmm. and of course, I will start to get frustrated by this. And this is where I clue into my body. So I know that my stomach kind of twists. I feel it kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. kind of the butterflies twisting, but not happy butterflies. It's kind of like this twisting. And I know that, okay, I might actually feel that I'm okay at that moment. I'm just being myself.
Like you could be rational.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah. And now that I know my signs, I know that I'm on the verge of being flooded. So I can actually kind of back off that cliff and kind of do the steps of self-soothing and still interact and do a pretty good job now that I've figured this out. Mm-hmm. Before, I would just cross over that line, just keep on going and, you know, we'd be arguing. It wouldn't go well.
Remember how easy it is to get flooded, guys. I think people don't understand that they are really in an irrational place where their prefrontal cortex is not working effectively anymore. Yeah. Prefrontal cortex is our ability to make decisions, our rational, functional part of our brain. And we can go from, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 of escalation or shutting down, we could go from like a 4 to a 7 in a matter of seconds.
4 seconds.
Yeah, within 4 seconds. And that once we're at that 7, we might as well be at a 10. You know, you're flooded. That's a term that means our brain's no longer able to be rational. We are in our brain stem now, which is our fight or flight.
And a fight or flight, when your husband or wife is in fight or flight, this is not the time to be like talking about really delicate, sensitive subjects. They're in, you know, they're internally freaking out. Yeah. So they're shutting down. They're in, I'm going to fight this person or I'm going to run from this person. This right here, this situation is scary. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that state, it's not the time to discuss difficult subjects. And as frustrating as that could be, or as you know, off-putting that is sometimes, yes, you do need to take some time. So that's the first step. So write that down. What does my body do? How does my body react when I'm frustrated?
So that's this first step. Recognize your need for the timeout. Okay. On to step two.
Hey guys, we're pausing this episode to tell you just why you should make Eros in Biloxi, Mississippi a destination for your marriage this summer.
So we sent out a survey to everyone who went to Eros in January, and we asked the couples to rate the helpfulness of each topic discussed at the event. And to our surprise, you know which segment received the highest marks?
Our exegesis of certain passages of Song of Solomon.
Folks, we're all about keeping it biblical and spicy.
So on a serious note, there's not much training when it comes to the marriage bed. What's okay and what's not okay, and the godly permission to spark that playfulness in your sex life again.
Needless to say, this is a segment that we'll definitely keep in the lineup for the next two stops on the Eros tour.
Listen to what Eric and Rachel said about Eros.
This has quite literally transformed our marriage. The in-person experience gave us time to focus and surrounded us with a community of like-minded couples on a mission to make positive change. Adam and Carissa have saved us, giving advice on working through struggles of our past and practical steps for a successful relationship for the future. I honestly can't say enough about how this has changed how we think and interact on a daily basis. Anyone thinking of attending Eros, I would highly encourage you to go. If you value your marriage in the least bit, take steps to make it great. Eric and Rachel, such sweet and real feedback.
Yeah, thank you guys. So come and join us on the Gulf Coast in just a couple months. It's Biloxi, Mississippi on June 21st and 22nd, or in Houston, Texas, November 1st and 2nd.
Go to DearYoungMarriedCouple.com/Eros or hit the link in the show notes to register today. You'll be one step closer to a more adventurous and intimately connected marriage.
And we'll see you guys soon. Step two is to call the timeout and the time in, that's really important, at the same time. So let me give you an example. So just to tell you a story. Krista didn't know I was telling this story.
No, I
but
don't know.
We'll just go into it. So we were doing a seminar in New York City.
Okay.
And we had our kids with us, and we tried to take our kids. We have two kids. We try to take our kids with us a lot of places, and this was a seminar we're doing. We had a great time, but we decided to go to the city just to have fun. And we were there, you know, pushing the double wide through Chinatown, and you know, if you've been there, you know that's difficult. And it was just a long, hard day. We were all hungry, and at the very end, like I remember being so happy just to get back to the car, and. We got in, we are both just frazzled and frustrated. The kids are super tired. They actually fell asleep. I remember driving, getting in the car, driving, trying to get out of New York City. And then we're going over a bridge. And then Krista turns to me and says, and for some reason, she thought it was a fantastic time to bring up a very delicate situation. Well, I'm like driving in New York traffic at this point, you know, trying to keep us alive from the taxis, and Chris is like, hey babe, and brings this subject up, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, right now is a good time? And I remember immediately getting like, I felt that thing in my stomach. So there you go, step one.
Yep.
I recognized it, and she kept going, and I said, okay. And it wasn't like about our marriage, it was just about a business decision we needed to make, and we needed to talk about it.
Yeah,
but it just wasn't, I couldn't fully be present and interact in a way that would be helpful for both of us.
And that's an important note, you guys. When you take this breather responsibly, it doesn't have to be just in response to like a blaming situation or a you versus me situation. It could just be like an important subject and you both need mm-hmm. to focus and be completely present, and you're not able to in that moment.
Right. And I wasn't at that at that point. So I recognized my stomach was turning and I was starting to get frustrated. And I just turned to her and said, hey, babe, right now I'm trying to get us home safely and alive. I am overloaded from the day. Right now is not the right time for me. Could we please take a time out on this? Or we could call a breather. Whatever you guys have to decide what you want to call it. Could we please take a breather on this and come back to this maybe after we get back from our trip? She's like, sure, babe. Pulls out her calendar right there. Okay, so would Monday work? I'm like, please. But that's important. So yes. We scheduled it. And we let it go, and we ended up going to bed happy.
Yeah, and we did come back to it at the designated time. So I want to reassure the pursuer who's listening and thinks, oh, if we take a time out, if we call a breather on this, we'll never actually come back to it. As long as you guys agree, and then you both need to be a man or woman of your word, then you can take the breather. But in step two, call that time out and time in at the same time. Whether that's a couple days later, like it was for us because we were on this trip, or it could be 20 minutes later. But here's a crucial point. It has to be at least 20 minutes. Don't take a 5-minute break to take a quick walk outside and come back in, because your heart rate will still be up. Your breathing won't have returned to normal.
Yeah.
And the cortisol, which is a stress hormone in your body, won't have flushed out yet. You really need to give your body 20 minutes and your brain to be able to do steps 3 and 4, which we're going to share next. You need to be able to give all of that ample time and space to de-escalate.
Yes. And de-escalation is really important. So this moves us into step 3 and step 4. So step 3 is to relax and calm down. And what we like to tell all of our millennials and Gen Zers that is not when you like pull out your phone and ignore the problem for a while and then, okay, it's time, turn your phone off and interact. Like, that's what we call distraction.
Mm-hmm.
That's not actually relaxing and calming down. We know that distraction is not the way to do it. So what we would encourage is a more active relaxing. So do something active. We know that working out or cleaning or some sort of movement is actually very healthy for the body to kind of get that stress energy out.
Mm-hmm. Steps three and four actually go together. So the reason why we're giving you that instruction on step three to pick an activity where you can actually focus and not distract yourself is because we want you doing step four at the same time. So step four is to put yourself in your spouse's shoes. So this is empathy. This is where you get to go, I married a good-willed person. Why are they thinking what they're thinking right now? Why are they feeling what they're feeling right now? Why did they say what they said? Now, this doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong. It doesn't mean that everything they said was actually okay, because maybe it wasn't. But you're actually putting yourself in their shoes to figure out what does this look like from their perspective.
All right. And man, it's so hard to do that in the moment, because you want to, you know, you want to stand on your righteous hill with indignation and look over and be like, they're so wrong. Right? At least that's me. I mean, all you perfect people out there probably don't feel that. But, you know, it's very difficult to wrangle that feeling down and go, No, I married a good-willed person. There probably is some merit to what they're feeling right now.
Yeah.
And when you just kind of decide to, okay, let me look at it from their perspective, you'll see that, okay, they do have something to this.
Yeah.
Maybe I can acknowledge that I maybe could have done something better, or that we could work on this, you know, differently, or whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of helps you step back from it and go, okay, you know, I love them. I know they love me. I know this will go away. Let's just fix this quickly. And I think Gottman, who is a fantastic researcher, found that it's really not the amount of arguments that you get in that determine your happiness, but it's how you handle those things. So I tell this to clients all the time. You will get in arguments.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have this great feeling in this session that we're in right now, but you're going to have an argument and you're going to disagree and it's going to be frustrating, but know that we are going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster that you apologize and make amends for the things that you could have done better, and own your stuff, and try to see them in their pain and frustration,
mm-hmm.
faster that we go through that, the easier this process becomes. And, you know, for a while, you know, big arguments were scary for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But now when we get in an argument, we both know in the back of our mind, we're going to be through this really fast. So own your stuff.
Yeah. I think the empathy part gets missed a lot of times when people are in conflict. Even if they mean well and they're trying to solve it, they'll go into resolution mode. You know, like, okay, how do we do this? How do we do it differently next time? And that's good. You need to start working on some solutions. But they miss seeing the other person. They miss going, hey, I get you. I see why you said that. Or I see how you're feeling this way. It makes sense to me. We don't actually connect with that person in that right brain perspective. Right brain is our creative, empathetic, emotional side. And we don't really connect with them right brain to right brain. We just go right into left brain, like, let's figure this out. Let's get the data on the table.
Yeah. And a lot of people haven't seen arguments and conflict modeled very well.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel like any sort of acknowledging or seeing the other person's perspective is agreeing with them.
Yeah.
So they refuse any sort of empathy,
mm-hmm.
and stay over like on their side of the creek.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, not crossing over, which leads to so much resentment.
Yeah.
So don't do that. You could look at the other person's points and actively listen to that out, have empathy, but still disagree on some points.
Totally.
That's totally possible. So don't buy the lie that, you know, I have to move and be this immovable object in the rightness of my own view. Like, that is not going to be very beneficial for happiness long term.
You may have heard us use this metaphor before, but it's like if we had this apple dangling between us, and I'm looking at the apple over here, Adam's looking at the apple over here.
Yeah, the red apple.
Adam's apple. But I look at it and I go, hey, it's green. This apple is green and it has a bruise. And you're like,
it's greenish red.
I'm like, it's not red at all. It's green and it has a little bruise.
No, it's not.
And if I were just to go over to his side and look at it from his perspective, I know I'm not wrong. I know it is green, but I would go, oh, I see why he said it's greenish red. Like, because over here it is. And so it might be that you're both right. Now, there are situations where there is someone who's saying false information, and you'll have to address that. Yeah. But you can still see from their perspective why they're feeling how they're feeling.
Yeah, that's really crucial. It's not so often people get into the data like, you said this 5 sentences ago and that's wrong. And no, I didn't. I said this 3 sentences ago and I'm right. You're like, and you get just down this unproductive rabbit trail after rabbit trail. Let's just get back down to the feel. Feelings are true for them. And so if I can acknowledge, like, I could see how you're hurt right now. That is true. And I can acknowledge that. I don't have to agree that she did the right thing or that I was absolutely wrong in what I did, but that she was hurt in what I did, I can acknowledge that.
Yes.
And I don't like that she's hurt. So if you can keep that in mind, and especially for the last step, step number 5, that the person who calls a timeout brings it back in. If I bring it back in, I can acknowledge that and say, okay, look, it'll look like this. Hey, babe, are you ready to bring this back in with me? Mm-hmm. Sure, babe. Okay, let's do it. So we'll sit down. All right. Just want to start it off. I felt this, but I could totally see how you're frustrated around that. And I am sorry. I could have done that much better.
Yeah. Or just looking at what you did in step 4, that empathy piece, instead of thinking about it internally, you're going to verbalize
it. Or I could see how you're frustrated around this.
Yeah. It makes sense to me that you think this way.
Yeah. Could you explain a little bit about that? Mm-hmm. And you could go into that. So, maybe we'll do a series here and talk about maybe what do we do and how do we solve it once we get into, once we bring it back in. That's a whole skill set as well. And by the way, this is a skill. You have to practice it. Mm-hmm. I tell clients all the time to get sticky notes and write, use the timeout and stick it around your house. Because I said, where do you argue? Put it in your car, put it in, because you'll go back to what you know or what you've witnessed. Mm-hmm. If you don't kind of have this in front of you, it will take 3 or 4 times probably to really cement it in your quiver. All right, put it in your tool bag. But this is a powerful tool. Seriously, it will work if you use it.
So we encourage you guys, go practice it. Even if it's a situation where things aren't super escalated, but you just want to practice using it on a medium issue, tell your spouse, hey, let's practice taking a breather right now.
Yeah, good point. It's not always when you guys are crazy escalated. Sometimes I'm working on a project and I don't have the bandwidth to work on whatever she wants to talk about right then.
Because he's in that one box.
Yeah, I'm
in his waffle brain.
Yeah, stay out of my box. So I hope this is a good direction for you. This is what we call the tourniquet. It stops the bleeding. Stop the bleeding in your marriage. Stop saying the things that you wish you wouldn't have when you're escalated. And let's start arguing well.